Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetter, Scott Eklund. It is Monday afternoon. It's a holiday day. I know a lot of you are at home, so wanted to try to get this out for the commute home for those who are working today. But Jed Fish has been announced the new coach at the University of Washington, a new sheriff in town, a new culture coming in. So just Chris, just hot take, you know, from yesterday. We did the podcast before things became official, but, you know, just give me, you know, 30-second hot take from yesterday to today and what you were feeling like yesterday as opposed to today.
Well, today marks a week since they played in the national championship game, right? Think about that for a second.
That's crazy.
It feels like we've been through like 10 news cycles since then. Like guys coming, guys going, guys maybe going somewhere else. Maybe they're staying. Who knows what's going to happen? And then all of a sudden, DeBoer's going to Alabama. So then what's next? And then within 48 hours, Jed Fish is coming to Arizona. And what does that mean? And so just a whole range of emotions, honestly. And what's really tough is because of the holiday, because of the 3-day weekend, all the players for like all the teams, whether you're talking about Alabama, Washington, Arizona, they're all scattered. They're all gone.
Yep.
And so when Jed Fish tries to have a little players meeting last night, Sunday night, you know, there's barely anyone there because they're all gone for the weekend. And so, you know, it's difficult to know exactly or gauge exactly the feelings other than, you know, when you hear at Arizona, the meeting that Jed Fish had with his players lasted about 3 minutes. I doubt the one with DeBoer at Washington lasted too much longer than that. It's just tough. It's just a really tough, cutthroat business.
Yep.
And you're seeing a lot of bodies in the wake because DeBoer to Alabama is having ripple effects for hundreds, if not thousands of people.
Scott, hot take from yesterday to today.
Well, you know, we saw it kind of coming. We saw it brewing. Let's start off on Friday. Just was in complete shock about what was going on. Saturday was just, okay, what's going to happen? We know DeBoer's gone. What's going to happen? Who's going to get interviewed? All that different stuff. We're chasing that all down. Sunday is Rumorville galore until about, 2 o'clock? Somewhere around there. Maybe even a little before that. And when Fish was basically rumored to be the guy and it was starting to leak out through different sources. And then so last night when I went to bed, I'd put together a blog. Hopefully everybody saw that with all the players that Washington could be after and could be guys on the roster next year. What it looks like for the 2024 class for Washington, what guys from the Arizona's 2024 class could be looked at, and then what Washington's portals could look like. So going through all that. And then now we're starting to get a little bit of a sense of what the assistant coaching staff is going to look like. And so there's more structure, I think. And I'm feeling like, okay, we're starting to get to a point where, okay, now we can start moving forward and start really thinking about what this roster is going to look like.
Hey, Chris, it was kind of wild, and I kind of equated it to the same thing that was happening with Alabama. It just seemed like, you know, there was probably 5 or 6 guys out there being mentioned for the job, and then all of a sudden, one by one, guys started dropping out, and Kalen DeBoer was the last man standing. It almost seemed like that yesterday with Jed Fish. A lot of the candidates that we had just started falling off the radar one by one, and Jed Fish was the last guy standing. He may have been the first guy offered, but he was definitely the last guy standing.
Yeah, it was interesting because usually the first guy in the mix is kind of the stalking horse or the one that's going to provide the smoke screen for the athletic directors or the agents or whoever's involved. You know, like in the coaching search that ended up having Kalen DeBoer go to Alabama, who was the first coach mentioned? It was Dan Lanning. And then it was Mike Norvell.
Then it was Lane Kiffin.
And Lane Kiffin. And then you heard like Mike Locksley, and you heard some of these other names kind of get thrown into the fore. And there's always Dabo Swinney in the background and all these other names. So it's rare that the first guy you really hear in terms of a guy that's has legitimate interest and it could really happen ends up being that guy, especially when you go through all these other, you know, coaches, because you started with Fish, but then you move to a Matt Campbell or a Chris Kleiman or a Lance Leopold. It's just weird how it really did end up kind of truly going full circle.
It's kind of funny because I think a lot of people, you know, specifically our posters and fans, you know, when we announce a breaking commit, it's like, okay, we got him. Who's next? You know, and the Jed Fish thing got announced. Okay, well, who are his assistants? I mean, it's like they take 5 seconds to absorb and then they are on to the next thing. And Scott, it sure looks like we're not going to have any coaches remaining on the staff from the previous staff.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate because we did get to know this staff pretty well just in 2 years. And you know, one guy had been around for a long time, and that's Scott Huff. We had known him for a while. But it sounds like he's going to have a nice soft landing down in Alabama. Now, how soft of a landing is that going to be? Who knows? His big green egg, I wonder, do people down south ridicule green eggs? Because
he'll have his own personal chef down there.
Okay, sounds good. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of sad to see some of these guys go. But you know, it's also good to get just a whole new, you know, whole clean slate. Granted, there's a couple guys who have ties to the Husky program and Jordan Pau, Jimmy Doherty, and all that. But I think in the long run, it's always better to just start fresh, have a brand new staff, let them establish with the guys that they want, but also you know, establish with the guys that are here and kind of move forward from there.
And Chris, it's not just only on the field, but guys off the field as well, you know, like Jared McElwain in the recruiting office, Courtney Morgan in the recruiting office. I don't expect Ron McKeefrey to be retained. It sounds like the strength and conditioning coach is coming up as well, but it's just not on the field, it's off the field as well.
Oh, 100%. Like I said, when I'm talking about ripple effects for hundreds, if not thousands of people, I'm talking about in all three of the schools that are being affected currently, as well as whatever school Arizona takes their head coach from, or, you know, maybe it's Johnny Nansen. So maybe it's different things that way too. But yeah, there's no doubt that everyone gets affected. Everyone gets uprooted. Everyone's moving. I mean, I'm thinking of Jed Fish right now, and I'm thinking of his family. And I think we were talking about it in the earlier podcast. I think if you total up all the places that he's been as a pro coach, college coach, what have you, it's like 16, 17 different places. I mean, I've made one move in 25 years and it completely ruined my life. Can you imagine moving 16 or 17 different times? I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, I had a chance to talk to Jordan Pau just real quickly yesterday. And for those who don't remember, he was the tight ends coach here under Chris Peterson, and he was not retained by Jimmy Lake. And we both know Jordan real well, and he was devastated when he wasn't retained. But he was able to be added to the staff down there. And let's just say, if I said Jordan Pau was happy to be returning, I think that would be an understatement. And Scott, I mean, look at the tight ends that Jordan Pau got in this school and really developed.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit yesterday in the podcast. And I mean, Disley, Will Disley, Drew Sample, and Kate Otten, he recruited him. And then also even because he was actually on Sark's staff, so he actually got Austin Seferian Jenkins in. If I remember correctly. So, it's a really, good pickup for Washington to get Jordan Pau. He's going to do really well with, tight end evaluations. One thing that, I've heard really a lot of good things about is, Matt Doherty, that he's just an outstanding talent evaluator. He's basically the Courtney Morgan. He was the Courtney Morgan of Arizona football. So he'll be doing that same job up here. You know, there's just a lot of good talent evaluators on this team. They're very good recruiters. Think about what these guys were recruiting to the last couple of years. And the fact that they've been able to bring in some talented guys and get some really, really talented players in and put them in and plug them in into their system and find guys who fit and find guys who bought in. Jordan Pau-Pau leads that charge, in my opinion.
And Chris, some of the other coaches that are returning, do you remember much? Jimmy Dougherty was a really young coach when he was brought on at UW.
Yeah, I mean, he came in, I think, around 2009, 2010. Was he a part of Sark's very, very first coaching staff at Washington? I thought he was.
Yes, he was.
I think so. His rep is coaching tree. His dad, I believe it was Michigan. His dad was a big-time high school, big-time high school coach back in Minnesota. Excuse me, Michigan, I believe it was.
Yeah, no, I mean, he definitely came in as a bright young star and coached a few years and then was able to move on and parlay that into bigger and better. And so it's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens because there are a lot of Washington ties to this program. There were even more when you included Johnny Nansen, who's now at Texas. You include Dwayne Aquina, who's now at Texas, which it's so amazing. Dwayne Aquina has been, it feels like he's been everywhere, but he's never coached at Washington. He's never coached at his alma mater. So I thought that was really, really strange too. But there's a lot of connections between Dougherty, Pau-Pau, Jed Fish obviously was a coach with the Seattle Seahawks in 2010 as a quarterback's coach under Pete Carroll. Now you've got Brennan Carroll, who's likely going to be the offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, announced tomorrow. He should be there at Fish's press conference, and he's obviously Pete Carroll's son. So the connections are long and strong.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the tweets out there. But Jimmy Dougherty, when he was here at Washington, he was the wide receiver coach. It sounds like he's the quarterback coach. Brennan Carroll, that is Pete Carroll's son, and he's the offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. Scott, you know a little bit about that wide receiver coach, and evidently he is rock star recruiter.
Yeah, Cummings is the last name.
I think it's Kevin.
Kevin Cummings, yeah. So, I mean, he's a huge pickup. The guy can recruit. He can develop. To me, now, granted, I know some of it was under different coaching staffs, but my goodness, Arizona always seems to have deadly wide receivers. And he is a really good coach and a really good recruiter. And Washington I thought Jamarcus Shepherd was one of the best wide receiver coaches I'd seen at the University of Washington. He got the most out of his players. And I'm not saying he was bad on the recruiting trail, but there were guys that he missed on and that I thought Washington should have been able to get in the system. Now, I mean, the guys that he brought in this class, I think are going to be outstanding. Jason Robinson, Justice Williams, but there were maybe a couple other guys that I thought Washington would have had a better shot with, and he either didn't want them or just didn't mesh with them quite well. Kevin Cummings, from everything that I've been made aware of, is a really good recruiter and will get you in on a lot of big time wide receivers. And coming into what Washington has and the program that they can present to these kids and everything like that, the fact that they're going to play in the Big Ten on the biggest stage in college football, I think Washington's going to be able to reel in a lot of talented wide receivers here on the West Coast.
Yeah, I thought that one of the key keeps, I was hoping that they could keep Scott Huff and Jamarcus Shepherd, but I think one of the keys was keeping the strength and conditioning coach, Ron McKeefrey. McKeefrey was offered by Nick Saban back in the day, and he got a nice bump from University of Washington. Was he making $700,000-$800,000 right in there, Chris, with the bump that he got?
Good question. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, the strength and conditioning coach down at Arizona, his name's Tyler Owens, and our guy down at Arizona described him as really, really, really good. And we're expecting him to come up too, so it'll be interesting to meet him and see what it's all about. So,
I think ironically enough, he's part of the Alabama strength and conditioning coaching tree, if I remember correctly.
Well, it just seems like we've been crossing paths with Alabama for quite a while, Chris. I think it goes all the way back to that DB, JC guy that was at Alabama, the corner. What was his name? Do you remember who I'm talking to?
I know who you're talking about. I couldn't remember his name for the life of me.
Didn't play here much, but actually had a cup of coffee in the NFL. Big, 6'3 corner. He was a JC guy. Good kid. But, we've been dealing with him quite a bit. But when we talk about guys coming up, there's also some pretty good players on that roster, and it's going to be interesting. What Jason Shear say, as many as 15 could come up?
Yeah. Yeah. The top three on the list, though, are Jonah Coleman, Totoroya McMillan, and Noah Fifita. That's the quarterback, wide receiver, and running back. And all three of those guys are guys I had in my recruiting blog, and also guys that I think could be going anywhere in the country, but they're going to follow. From everything we're made aware of, there's a very good chance that all three of those guys could end up at the University of Washington. I think all three are in the portal, right? I know Coleman is. I'm not sure about the other two.
Yeah, I haven't seen Fifita. Isn't their right tackle supposed to be NFL caliber as well?
Yeah. I don't. Jonah Savianaya. Yeah, and his brother plays on the defensive line, Julian Savianaya. So, and then Jacob Manu, the linebacker, is a big time guy too. So, Washington's definitely got some guys to choose from on that of that group.
Yeah, the three guys that played in high school together at Servite were Fifita, Tet McMillan, and Jacob Manu. And so, obviously, those guys are really connected and really close. So it'll be interesting to see if they try to stay together or if they split up or how that ends up going.
And Scott, if they can retain Jeremy Bernard, who says he's going in the portal, he's not in the portal yet as we are recording this podcast. But if they can remain with Jeremy Bernard, they've still got a stacked wide receiver room.
Yeah. I wouldn't say I would say stacked with potential, but they aren't really stacked yet that we know of from productivity. I think Jeremy Bernard, if they can keep him, like you said, Kim, I think if you can, you know, get the most out of Denzel Boston, you're talking about the three wide, or I guess the only two wide receivers left, but Rashid Williams is an absolute stud in the making. He could be really, really good in this system. I think that, Keith Reynolds, I think the coaches kind of liked him. I think they were a little surprised at how much they liked what he could do. And then you got Giles Jackson, who's the holdover. You know, we'll see if he ends up sticking around or what he decides to do. So, lots of guys.
And you forgot just, one. You forgot one. Everybody's sleeping on him. The guy from Cal.
Well, yes, he's, Jeremiah Hunter.
But he's just committed. He's not enrolled. He's not there.
Yeah. We don't even know if he's going to stay enrolled. So, cause he just hasn't been real public about stuff. So,
yeah.
But you know, if they get him, I mean, he's a Romo Dunze clone, maybe not as fast as Romo Dunze, but just as talented when it comes to catching contested passes. So, I mean, there's talent on hand at wide receiver. They just need to be molded. And I think Fish and Cummings and whoever is the OCU, if it's Brendan Carroll or whoever, I think they're gonna look at the wide receivers and go, you know, that's a group that as long as we can coach them up and we got a good coach, that we're gonna be just fine there.
And losing Dylan Johnson, if they are able to get the running back, Chris, I think that would be a big deal as well.
Yeah, Jonah Coleman is already in. He is definitely in the portal. He's already announced that, so that would be a big one, especially coming up with his coach who apparently has gotten nothing but like rave reviews from the media down in Tucson. His name's Scotty Graham. And so, so it sounds like Scotty Graham is going to be the new Lee Marks, and we'll see what happens there. The other thing too, to think about is that with Washington or with Arizona, excuse me, they're one of their top returning or the top guy for 2024 in terms of guys that have signed. And are gonna. He may already be on campus. I'm not 100% sure, but the top player for that class is a running back by the name of Jordan Washington, who played for Long Beach Jordan High School. And so, you know, we'll see. Is that a guy that ends up trying to go into the portal and follow Scotty Graham to Mott Lake? So, you know, obviously there's a lot will be determined because now that Jed Fish is officially going to Washington. The Arizona players, they have 30 days to go into the portal. Guys that have signed their letters of intent will most likely be released from their letters because that's something that Washington has done in the past with some of those guys when they've made their coaching changes.
Scott, members of the 24 class signed with Arizona, any of those that were heavy Washington targets?
Well, I wouldn't say heavy Washington targets, but the guys that I listed were Jordan Washington, the running back. He's I think you guys just mentioned him, Damond Williams, the quarterback who was an Army All, well, he's not, it's not called Army All American. It's the All American Bowl guy. Rayshon Clark, who is, a local prospect that Washington liked, but didn't pursue that heavily. He's a guy that could be brought in as like a safety or a, like, I don't know what they call it. I think they call it a star or whatever in their system, whatever the Husky is, in their system. And then
He's out of Federal Way High School, by the way.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's out of Garfield. He's transferred. So third school in 4 years. So yeah, because he was at Life Christian down in Tacoma, then he was at Federal Way, and now he's up at Garfield. But right. Then, you know, Washington liked him as a safety. He wanted to play wide receiver, but it sounds like they told him that he's going to play cornerback in at Arizona. So we'll see what ends up happening. And then Kaho Tuihalamaka, he's a huge defensive lineman from I think it's Servite, or not Servite, I'm sorry, Modern Day, from Modern Day in Santa Ana, the big Modern Day. But they were one of only three schools to extend him an offer. 6'4", 340 pounds. So if they want to bring him up, I wouldn't be surprised if he's another one that they might bring into the fold.
And I think the big guy who's entered the portal again, changed his mind, and we'll see if he's able to recommit. And that's Keona Wilhite.
Yeah.
Keona Wilhite. And he was committed at one time to Arizona. He's from down there, and he switched his commitment, signed with Washington. So I think he would be a pretty big get to keep on the roster.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely would be. He's versatile. He could grow into a defensive tackle at some point, but that's, you know, he's going to come in and play edge wherever he goes, at least to start. Noah Carter is another one that people, a lot of people want to get in the boat, and we'll see. Now, I have talked to several of the Husky commits that, you know, that were in the 2024 class that have signed. Two of them took official visits to Arizona. And those were the two defensive line prospects for the Huskies in the class, Rahumana Bulabalabu and also Omar Khan. They told me a lot of stuff off the record. I'll just summarize. Basically, they said that they had great relationships with Jed Fish and that staff down there. They just liked Washington better. And they feel like, you know, right now I'm locked in with Washington, and we'll see what happens.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future. New documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
One of the key positions we haven't heard much about, the defensive coordinator at Arizona was Johnny Nansen, and he moved to Texas, and he's rumored to be a top candidate for the head job down there at Arizona. But there's still a defensive coordinator position to be filled, and the Washington defensive coordinators, they had two, and Chuck Morrell and William Inge, and, you know, just lots of reports of them actually being at the team meeting. We're not hearing much of them going down to Alabama.
No. In fact, it looks like basically the entire offensive staff minus Lee Marks is going to be hired at Alabama. So that means you've got Grubb, you've got Jamarcus Shepard, you've got Scott Huff, and you've got Nick Sheridan, who was coaching the tight ends. So, yeah, so there's big openings. And like I said, it looks like the five or six coaches that are on their way up from Arizona that should get introduced tomorrow are pretty much all offensive guys, and including the strength and dish and conditioning coach. So at this point right now, it looks like, you know, they've got to figure out their whole defense. They've got to figure out who wants to run that thing. whether that means that Jed Fish retains guys like Injun Morrell or whether he goes in a different direction. I think, to be honest with you, Kim, that's the biggest question for me.
Yeah.
Moving forward in the next 24, 48 hours, what direction does he go? Does he retain those guys, or does he just take a chopping block to all of it and can not only those guys, but Juice Brown and Inoke Brechterfield, does he just go clean, or does he try to include some of those guys to maybe hope stem the tide a little bit and try to keep some of the players on and create some continuity on that side of the ball? Because they kind of go either way at this point.
Yeah, because it sure doesn't sound like any of the defensive coaches are going with Kalen to Alabama.
No, it doesn't sound like it at all.
Not a surprise there.
No, not a surprise.
Yeah, no, that's going to be the interesting thing, is to keep your eye on. And a lot of coaches, this is a good place to coach. It's expensive, but it's a good place to be. I was talking to one of the guys from Arizona that's going to be coming up, and he was actually packing his bags in the midst of all of this. And I said, yeah, real estate prices, they're a lot cheaper. I was talking to another guy at UW, and he said, you know, Jed Fish has got a fabulous house down in Tucson. I go, well, he'll pay double the price for real estate up here, and he'll have to live in Renton or Kent. So I think he can afford what he wants. What rumors? What, 7.75 average?
Yeah.
Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, I thought that's what's been reported. I thought I saw somewhere was Hugh Millen. Was he the one that reported the buyout? Because I didn't see that anywhere. I saw that on our message boards, but
no offense to Hugh, he could be completely right, but don't take that with a grain of salt at this point.
Well, I just feel like this is a case of telephone, right? Where the news gets passed down and down and down, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe a $12 or $15 million buyout becomes a $20 or $25 million buyout. I have not heard the exact figure. Hopefully, we'll get some clarity on that tomorrow.
Yeah, there's two steps to what was being signed. We saw the video yesterday, and it looked like three pages. And three pages is going to be an MOU, a memorandum of understanding. It won't have all the details. The details will, you know, be in the long form contract, and typically that's a lot longer than three pages. And at some point, we will get a copy of that contract, and we'll be able to see what's in it. I'm sure it'll have the country club membership, and everybody tells me he's a country club kind of guy, so it'll have the country club membership, the you know, just other perks, the rental car, all of that kind of stuff. And then we'll see if it has any numbers in there for assistant salary pool or anything about an NIL commitment. But those details will probably be in the long form contract that we get at some point. But, you know, Chris, we were talking about it a little bit, and you talked about it on the radio, you know, just talking to some guys. This is going to be a completely different culture than what we've seen under Chris Peterson, what we've seen under Kalen DeBoer and Jimmy Lake. And they compared it more to a culture of what Rick Neuheisel was running, a lot more laid back. So I don't know if that rings with you at all or not, or if it means anything to you at all.
Well, I think off the field, in terms of his culture and kind of what he brings and his personality and his character and everything else, reminds me of Rick Neuheisel in terms of he's a go-getter, he's a closer. He's a guy that's going to be able to recruit hard. He's going to deal with social networks. He's not going to shy away from it. On the field, he reminds me a little bit more of Sark. And not so much in terms of what kind of offense he's going to call, although I think there's a lot of touchstones between those two guys. I think it's more to the point of what his mechanics are. You see him calling the plays. So, like, even Brennan Carroll, he has the official title of offensive coordinator. Brennan Carroll hasn't called a play when he was at Arizona. That was all Jed Fish. And it's expected that Jed Fish is going to continue to be the play caller on the sidelines for Washington going forward. And it's in that way, he's a lot like Sark.
Yeah, just so many things going on. And it's just been kind of a crazy week. You know, looking forward to the next few days throughout the week. What are we looking at, Scott? What does our week look like? What can fans expect over the next 4 to 5 days?
Well, I think you're going to see more assistants added. So we're right now, Jason Shear is reporting that all of the guys that Jed Fish has hired are all on a plane headed up to Seattle right now and supposed to be here for the press conference, which is tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
By the way, do you guys want me to go down the list of the coaches? Because he's basically saying everybody – but Chuck Cecil and Ricky Hundley are going to be at Washington.
Yeah.
So
yeah, go for it.
Basically, that means that – so Brendan Carroll was their offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, which is an interesting mix because we could have very easily seen that with Scott Huff down the road, the way things were going. The assistant coach and the passing game coordinator and the quarterback's coach is Jimmy Doherty. Jordan Pau-Pau is assistant coach, tight ends, and also was the special teams coordinator at Arizona. And then Kevin Cummings was wide receivers coach and assistant coach. Scotty Graham was the running backs coach. The assistant coach from the defensive ends and outside linebackers is Jason Cafusi. The assistant coach for cornerbacks is someone named John Richardson. And that was it. And so they didn't really have a line like an inside linebackers guy listed, which I thought was interesting. So, but those are the guys that are expected to be at Washington tomorrow.
Hey, Scott, you mentioned that the press conference is on Tuesday. I apologize for what I did to you yesterday, telling you it was on Monday.
Yeah, I thought you did it on purpose, honestly.
I sent you scrambling.
Yeah, I was like, okay, all right, I'll figure something out. But, I mean, to me, today made sense. It totally made sense. But I'm glad they gave us that extra day.
Yeah, they just needed some time to settle in and, you know, get the coaches up here. You know, from my understanding, a bunch of coaches are flying up today, so I'm sure you wanted to get everybody here. But, you know, Chris, again, I asked Scott, you know, taking a look forward in the next 4 to 5 days, what are you seeing? What are we going to be doing, and what can fans expect?
Yeah, like I said, because of everyone scattered to the winds for the three-day weekend, there were not a lot of players and coaches on campus to really get a great feel for the little meet and greet that they had at Washington, you know, when Jed Fish got into town with his family. They got a chance to meet his wife and his daughters and everything like that, which is great. I mean, it's a good starting point, but it's kind of, in some ways, it's just kind of like, okay, well, now what? And so I think from here on out, like it's going to be really, really key for Fish to get these coaches up to Washington, get them all on the same page, you know, get it so that these players can fully buy in to what their vision is, what their plan is going forward. Because the quicker they can do that, then you can get the guys like Parker Brailsford and Jeremy Bernard and Austin Mack or whoever you want to talk about that's gone into the portal in the last 48 to 72 hours can now feel a lot better about their situation and how Washington is stacked to move forward in terms of what they're going to do. So that's what the next 2 to 3 days is going to be like. It's all going to be about recruiting, but it's not going to be about recruiting guys from Arizona. It's going to be about recruiting the guys to come back to Washington, whether it's the guys that were already on the team or whether it's guys like Will Rogers, you know, who came to Washington and then now is back in the portal, even though he has never played a snap for the Huskies.
Yeah, just if people think we're done, you know, because of everything that's gone on and we got the new coach and in the infamous Marcus Peters says, I think we ain't done yet. We got a lot of work in front of us between the portal and recruiting and assistant coaches being named. So, yeah, we're not close to being done. We're hopefully by the end of the week, we got a basketball game again on Thursday and Saturday, Chris?
Thursday, Saturday. They're in the Bay Area.
Yeah, so we got Thursday.
So they play at Cal on Thursday night. I think a game time is 6. And then Saturday they have a game time. It's also at 6 at Stanford.
All right. We just wanted to get something out to you guys and just give thoughts. Yeah, I know we try to put everything on the message board, but things tend to get scattered. So getting back to the We Ain't Done Yet, we're running a 60% promotion off on your annual subscription. So if you're not a subscription and just listening to the podcast, no better time to subscribe to dogman.com because it's going to be slammed with all the portal stuff, recruiting stuff, assistant coaches stuff, and we're probably only 60 days away from spring football. So follow it all year long here on dogman.com. Scott Eklund, final thoughts?
I'm just glad to have some sort of direction now and see where things go. I'm interested to see what his recruiting style is like and what his culture is like compared to, like you said, Kim, what we had under Chris Peterson and Kalen DeBoer and Jimmy Lake for the couple of years he was here. But, you know, I'm interested to see what it looks like and just I think this is a good move. I mean, the best move would have been Kalen DeBoer sticking around, but since that didn't happen, I think this is the best move Washington could have made.
Chris Fetters.
Yeah, actually, I had a quick question for Scott because, you know, there's a couple of 2025 commits that have also decommitted and pulled back. I'm wondering what your initial thoughts on those guys are going to be. Do you think they're going to just wait on them a little bit, or do you think Fish will make an immediate push to try to get those guys right back in?
Well, Rainey Saleh, the linebacker edge that from the state of Washington, I think he's going to be a guy that Fish will do his best to get back in the boat as soon as possible. And this is nothing against Jackson Colick. I think he's a pretty good quarterback, but I don't know if he's a fit for what Jed Fish wants to do. So we'll have to wait and see what Fish wants to do. And I haven't even looked at yet what they were looking at for the 2025 class as far as quarterbacks. Washington had offered 10, and they had some that were really interested in him that were pretty talented kids, but they took Colick. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. One thing that's going to be tough, they've got Demarcius Davis already in the boat. Is he going to stay? I'm pretty sure he will. He's already on campus. I'll be shocked if he leaves before at least next year. There's a chance they get Noah Fifita in, and we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. But Noah Fifita, he's 5'11", 190 pounds. I don't know if he's going to be an NFL guy who could leave early. So you could be looking at a 3-year starter, and that's going to be a lot harder to get in guys who might have to wait for 2 to 3 years. So that's definitely something that we'll have to keep an eye on and see how things go.
Hey, I have a request for you guys. This is a good question. With the quarterback situation the way it is, you mentioned Demarcius Davis being the only kind of live body in the room right now. There's three guys out there that could immediately bolster this quarterback room and make it a pretty special room. When you talk about Austin Mack, you talk about Noah Fifita, you talk about Will Rogers. First of all, is there a chance all three of those guys could end up on Washington's roster? And
no.
if there isn't, which two would you want going into the 2024 season?
I would prefer Will Rogers and Noah Fifita. And I think that would be the most likely scenario and let those two battle it out. I don't see any way that Rogers and Austin Mack wind up at Washington if Fifita is the guy.
If Fifita comes to Washington, Austin Mack's not returning. Plain and simple.
Yeah, he'd have to wait 3 years. There's no way he's doing that.
Yeah, and then, words I'm hearing is Austin Mack's going to show up down in Alabama. We could see Will Rogers show up down there as well, but that would be interesting with, you know, their quarterback situation down there. So,
and also just real quick for the people that are wondering if Jaden Delora could be a potential fit at Washington, he's already, I believe, he's either committed or enrolled. I want to say it's in Texas State. He already made an announcement, so he's gone
today, so, right?
Yeah, today. Okay. So you don't.
I didn't miss that. Okay.
He got Wally pipped. He got Wally pipped down there. So,
well, I know there's a lot of hard feelings about him because of what he did when he was at Washington State. So you guys don't have to worry about him.
Yeah, no, he's toxic to Washington. So anyways, hey, just before we wrap this up, just want to give a quick shout out. As you guys know, a real good friend of mine, Rick McMaster, he owns Vino at the Landing down in Renton. And the day after the 4th of July, on July 5th, in the parking garage next door, some knuckleheads were lighting off fireworks, and he got a phone call at 2:00 in the morning that his place was on fire. So water was dumped into his wine bar for a little over an hour, and he's been closed ever since. So today he had his soft opening. So back open, not advertising it yet. Just a few people know that he's going to be open. But if you guys are down in Renton, Rick's got a fantastic wine bar. Stop down and support those people. They've been amazing. And what's really, really awesome is almost everybody on his staff waited it out and returned. That tells a lot about the quality of person that Rick is. And he sucks at golf. Tell him I said that. He sucks at golf and he cheats.
Sure he listens to this, doesn't he? You just told him.
Oh, yeah, he listens to it. So anyways, it's going to be crazy. So just keep on. There's so much going on. Every time we think we're going to get slowed down a little bit, something else pops up. So if I'm gone tonight, Scott's with his kids and Fetters is asleep, look for something to break tonight. So Anyways, for all of us at dogman.com, I'm Kim Grinnells along with Chris Fetters and Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes now streaming. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with the Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. The subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.